There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you all along. Phone number and the text line the same, 343-0106, 343-0106. In addition, you got the FM Talk 106.5 app that you can call us from. You can also text us from the app. But also, that microphone icon there on the front page lets you record a message, email it to the show to play back the TalkBack feature. Check that out. One of the many, many items over at the FM Talk 106.5 app. And if you don't have it yet, grab it. It's free. It's waiting for you at the App Store for iOS users. And if you're an Android, a cool Android user like me, go to Google Play, and you can just search for, on both, FMTALK 1065. And no point between the 6 and 5, just FMTALK 1065. You'll see the app there. It's free. Download it and enjoy. All right, coming up in about 30 minutes, a little less than 30 minutes, Scott Johnson from Lanyap is going to join us. He's got the cover story to this week's Lanyap, and I mentioned it yesterday when we were talking to Rob Holbert, when Dan and I've been filling in this week. If y'all didn't hear, I've been filling in yesterday. And today from the morning show, be back on Monday on the morning show as well for Dalton. But the... we talked to Rob a little bit about this story and wanted to dig further into it, so we'll get the author on it. It says, can Alabama change the tune of violent gangs connected to the music industry? And this goes from the world of drill rap into the world of gangs in our community, what was said for so many years, what they're saying now about gang activity. And it's a really in-depth look at this, and we'll talk to Scott about that. So if you got questions, remember, you can hit us up on the text line, even while I'm talking to him later on in this hour. All right, to start off, I want to kind of revisit a story from earlier this week. And it just mentioned a little bit, maybe on Tuesday's show, somewhere back earlier in the week. But there's more to this. Now, somebody sent me the video the other night of this. I guess on Monday or Tuesday show, I talked about this, what went down at Nick's in the Sticks, right, outside of Tuscaloosa. And the video that I felt, I mean, it went viral, I guess I could say that, went viral over on Twitter, where you got a guy who's at dinner with some friends of his. He's white. His friends are black. And... they're at dinner, and like, so one of the proprietors, I don't think the owner, but the husband of the wife who owns Nick's and the Sticks, comes up and says a couple different things, but says N-bombs the people that were with him, who are black. And this dude's white, and they had the phones on, but he goes on, and it goes on for like 2 minutes in this video, you've probably seen it already, where he said, you know, goes, what'd you say to me? You know, why'd you say that? These are my friends. And I thought it was really an interesting moment as we were looking at, you know, what the mainstream media tries to paint people in this country as being so divided. And, you know, all black people are this way. All white people are this way. And here's, you know, and maybe I liked it even more coming from this guy because he looks like, could look like me, a lot of my friends. So he's just a regular dude and kind of got a, you know, he's got a little beer belly. He's got his ball cap on, his short sleeve button down shirt. I mean, just normal guy, and really gives this guy Jack Maltz the what for about it. I was very interested in the story, but I did, as always, when you do this long enough, have a percentage of me that said, "Is this actually what happened?" Because they don't have a recording of this guy using the N-word. But in watching the video, you're pretty sure by the guy, the way the guy reacted, that he did use him. Well, then there's been more to the story now as this Jack Maltz has come out and admitted that, yes, he did. And there's a video out where he apologizes for doing that. You can, a lot of people have this thing up right now. You can go watch it. It's about 2 minutes or so where he makes an apology here for doing it, which to me, circling around, was important because, like always, I mean, I saw what I saw, but we live in today's world where you don't know, did you see everything? Well, the guy comes out and admits doing it when he came up and talked to the other white guy and said that. So it's Maltz uses a slur, and he's talking to the guy who's in the video, the other white guy, referring to the black customers who were with him at the restaurant. And actually, I mean, the details, he was celebrating one of his friend's 22nd birthday, who's a black guy. Okay. And so, and you've probably seen that video by now. So Maltz comes out in this two-minute video and says he sincerely apologizes. He said, sincerely apologizes. Sorry to every customer. So it's all in the video. Apologized to all the people, quote here, to all the people in the community for my reprehensible use of the N-word and to Tuscaloosa police who were dispatched to the situation, which I don't know why TPD had to be there, but they probably had nothing else to do on that night. So, okay. And then he goes on, he asks for apology, and he falls on his sword, which is, you know, I guess admirable in that. But I think we can learn two lessons here. The easy lesson, and the lesson in the AL.com story and all that, is a lesson that I believe in, actually. First, just quit being bigots out there. Just quit being a bigot. Okay, just judge everybody individually. But it's actually a two-parter in prejudice. So this guy, Maltz, who apologized, had prejudice towards people because of their skin color. But I think the prejudice goes both ways. Because, number one, this guy assumed whatever he assumed about these people there at the restaurant with their buddy because they're black. I mean, he uses a racial slur. At the same time, the secondary, and it's an undercurrent. It's nowhere near as important as the first one. But the undercurrent's interesting to me, too. And maybe because I take this exists in my world. There was prejudice in this one guy going up to another guy who he didn't know, but he figured he could say what he was saying because he was, they're both white guys. And like I said, you look at the guy that he said it to, don't assume because I drive a pickup truck, I wear Carhartts and ball caps, and, you know, there's a combination of mud on my truck and salt foam, and I mean, that I'm cool with your bigotry. So the Maltz guy, I had said this on Twitter, I think, earlier in the week, was prejudiced on both sides. He was prejudiced against people because of the color of their skin, and at the same time, he prejudged, right, where prejudice comes from. He prejudged that this other white guy was going to be cool with what he was saying. I think there's a lesson in that. And so interesting. And yes, in that story, kind of coming full circle with this guy admitting that he did do it. I like I said, the whole earlier in the week, I held out some part that said, maybe that's not exactly how it went down. Let's get the full story. But there it goes. Full story's out. All right, so comments on that, we can do that in 343-0106. Also, we'll get to the school stories here. Jeff talked about one of them with, I think it's Randolph County, talking about banning phones in the classroom. It seems like a no-brainer to me, but we'll get into that. And also some of the changes that are rolling in for dress codes and what you can bring with you to school and not bring with you to school this year as school gets ready to get kicked back in here in the next, what is it, this next week, right? This next week for Baldwin County and Mobile County. So we'll get to that. But before that, this is interesting. Now, this story is from out of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, okay, that paper, which is the very liberal AJC. But this story is about money here, and it's something we've talked about for a long time. So this is focused on the Southern Company. Okay, Southern Company, which is a parent company of power utilities here in Alabama, like Alabama Power, but Georgia Power, others in this. And we talked about this last week, I think, and I know Lanyap's reported on this as well, really looking at the numbers of how much it costs to get electricity in the state, how much the cost of electricity has risen. And I think I've told y'all before, last year, some pretty shocking stuff because it takes a lot of electricity to run a 50,000-watt transmitter for this radio station. So it's if something goes up 30%, when you see your bill from Alabama Power, in my world, it's significant. You don't have to be somebody who's a bean counter to notice it. It's pronounced. Well, now this story headline here, Southern Company profits soar as summer heat scorches the South. And that's one thing Alabama Power said is like, hey, your profits are going up because it's hot and people are using their ACs more. So that's what's happening here. You got more of this going on, therefore the profits go up. Well, that would make sense. But here you go. It said profits of the Southern Company, the parent of Alabama Power, rose to $1.2 billion in the second quarter of 2024. An increase, now this is second quarter, y'all. Second quarter, so we're not even, I mean, warm, but not the hottest. You know, I'd say third quarter the hottest here. Okay. They increased more than 43% year to year. So 2023, not like it was cold in 2023. It rose more than 43% compared to last year as the company benefited from a series of utility rate increases. There you go. High temperature and an influx of data centers into service territories. The Lanyap reporting had looked at some of the colleges in the state and what they were paying year to year. Was it UAB? It was like up like over $1 million year to year what their power bill was there. So the company reported yesterday, Thursday, that its earnings across the first half of the year are also up, so two quarters combined, up 35% compared to 2023. They climbed from $1.7 billion to $2.3 billion. Operating revenues in the first 6 months of 2024 were $13.1 billion, an increase of 7% compared to last year. Alabama Power's net profits in the second quarter were $369 million, more than an 18% increase from the same period last year. The $369 million represents about a 30% of the total profits for the Southern Company. Now, mind you, that Alabama Power is just one of the companies within the umbrella of the Southern Company. And it represents 30% of the total profits for the whole thing coming out of Alabama. It says Alabama Power's operating revenues in the second quarter were $1.87 billion, nearly an 11% increase from the $1.69 billion in the same period in 2023. Okay, so yeah, hotter, but let's see the key there. How much of that is because the rates went up that significantly? And they did. In a comment here from the Southern Company president, so their side of it, CEO Chris Womack said, he was pleased with business fundamentals, adding that it continues to see, quote, customer growth and robust economic development in its service territories, end quote. Well, I bet. Who wouldn't like returns like that? Oh, by the way, they're a utility, right? Yeah. Just checking. They said second quarter 2024 operating revenue, $6.5 billion compared with $5.7 billion for the second quarter of 2023. Up $1 billion. So they're spending a lot of this and says, well, it's just because it's not that much hotter in 2024. It's hot. It's been hot, no doubt. But going from 2023 to now, those numbers are significant. But we got the Public Service Commission, right? They're watching it for us. They're taking care of things. How much have y'all seen your bills go up percentage-wise? Hit me up on the text line at 343-0106. Coming right back. More of this very program, Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1224 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. Run through some of these texts quickly here. Brandon, is there more to the story? Because Brandon sent me a link, earlier in the week. I guess it was yesterday. I did the story on the morning show about the spider being the roommate. The story. If y'all heard the other, okay, here's the story. Okaloosa County woman arrested Monday. Yeah, I had that story because it was, so thank you for the link, but I thought there was maybe a new update. You have a story of a roommate who drowned her roommate's spider. I just thought it was odd. So it was a jumping spider that was drowned in some ginger ale. But I think, Brandon, that's, You and I were both drawn to the same story. That's why I did it yesterday. All right, Joshua said, I'm white, half white, half Moa. My white friends sometimes ask, shouldn't you have more black friends since you grew up in a black ghetto? The answer is, I don't hang out with anybody that uses the N-word. Keep it simple. Well done. Y'all following what I'm saying about the double prejudice in that guy up at Nick's on the Sticks? Nick's in the Sticks? The fact that not only was he prejudicial against the black people that were there, he prejudged old boy there, old white boy, and said, hey, man, I'm going to say this to him. And, well, if y'all have seen the video, he didn't take to it very well. All right, let's see. Paul says, my power bill last summer was $100 more a month than in 22. 2024 summer is $100 more a month than 23, and 23 was hotter than this year. I don't know, was it? But either way, for them to be spending a lot about, oh, it's the hotter temperatures. Okay, it's not that much hotter. It's the rate increases. I mean, y'all, these numbers are substantial. I mean, oh my gosh, it's billions of dollars of increase in revenue. That's not from it being a couple degrees higher. And it does say, in deference here to what the Alabama Power said, there are more people coming online, I guess some data centers and some stuff like that. That contributing, all these things are contributors, but they're not the numbers I just read out in that story, which you can go, I put up on the Twitter or the X feed for FM Talk 106.5, at FM Talk 106.5. Monty says Alabama Power is a crime syndicate and Twinkle Kavanaugh is the mouthpiece for those blanking crooks. The PSC thing, I've been long on this, right, Monty? I mean, I've been on this for 15 years. There are some members of the PSC, when they campaign, the rhetoric is all about how they're fighting Washington. And I kind of throw my hands in there and say, y'all, we're not electing y'all to fight Washington. We got people in the federal delegation to fight Washington. How about y'all keep our bills as well? Because our bills are higher than Georgia Power, which is also another Southern company rate to rate. I remember, my buddy Ben Raines, when he worked for the Press Register back in the day, did that story 10 plus years ago and compared side-by-side rates. We pay more than they do in Georgia. Bob from Foley says, very interesting about the electric. They have no competition. I wonder what it would be like if they had other electric companies competing for the customers. Bob, you're singing my song, but you know that's how we went with utilities out there. It's been a thing I've talked about. Well, I've actually talked to Rob Holbert about it off the air the other day. I said, remember when I wrote, I used to write for Land Yap. I said, remember when I wrote a column that was all about why utilities are sending me like magazines and doing fun things and all that? That's advertising. That's marketing. Why they're buying billboard, jumbotrons at stadiums and stuff. It's not like you have a choice. Now, there is a part of the construct that they have to live under is utility. They have to give a certain amount back or into programs there. Why? How about you reduce the rate? You're not competing. Pat says, I'm on budget billing, and they raised the rates on me twice last year, equaling an extra $1,240 a year. And you're on the budget billing, some budget, huh? I mean, you can look at your regular power bill and see it. I'll look at what you were paying before. I mean, I'll pull one of our station power bills like I did a few months ago and read to y'all year to year what we're doing. Marty says Alabama Power can take their 78 degrees recommended thermostat setting and shove it. That's crazy. James, a sad troll. Well, the PSC is ran by Republicans. Am I supposed to believe they're not profiting from this, Sean? Yeah, I don't know. It is. And Twinkle Kavanaugh, you know, a real entrenched in the Republican party in Alabama. I don't know that they're profiting by, like, sometimes I get amazed by simplistic corruption, but I don't think it's that simplistic. I don't think people are handing them bags of money. But there's politics all wrapped up in it. I would like to see the Public Service Commission, their one job and their one allegiance be to people who pay utility bills in the state. And it's okay. I mean, Alabama Power is guaranteed a certain amount of profit, and that's part of the deal. They're operating within the lines there. But these numbers are huge here. All right, coming back, we'll Get some more text. Also, Scott Johnson from Landyap joins us. Lots to talk about with him straight ahead on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Talking to Scott Johnson with Landyap in just one second. First, let's check in with our intrepid reporter live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, Ron. Hey, Ron, what's going on today?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Sean?
I'm good, man. What's precious metals? What have they done this week?
They've been up and down all week. It's been kind of crazy, but they are up today. Gold is at $2,475, which is near another record high, and silver is still right under $30. So silver is really a great buy right now. I mean, gold and silver is still creeping up. You know, it all depends on who's going to win the election. If the Dems win, we're in trouble for the next 4 years. And I think gold and silver will be a great investment / hedge for you. And even if, thank goodness, if Trump wins, you still need to have a hedge because you never know what's going to happen with the stock market and things like that in the future.
And what just these other two precious metals we've talked about, that I was like, you can just buy those? And you're like, yeah, platinum and palladium. And I at least understand their value because they're used in the automotive industry. How are they trending?
They're trending just under $1,000 for both metals. In fact, they're almost exactly the same price for each metal. And palladium, which is used mainly in catalytic converters right now, since the automotive industry is so depressed and their new car sales are down, of course, not used as much palladium, and the price dropped down. It was over $2,000 last year at this time in the car. Remember when you couldn't get a car anywhere? Used cars cost more than new cars. Well, that drop has affected the palladium prices. So it's a great time for somebody to pick up some palladium.
All right. Well, tell folks how to come find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can call us at the shop, 251-725-1590, or check us out on the web at mobilebaycoins.com. And I want to let everybody know we are open tomorrow. This Saturday. We're open the first Saturday of every month, and tomorrow's the first Saturday of August.
All right. Folks can see you then. Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. There he goes, Ron, checking in. And now let's say hello. How many times have I mentioned this story? Three or four times, and glad to get the author of the story from Landyap, Scott Johnson, on with us to talk more about it. Scott, thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sean.
So the cover story for Landyap this week, bad rap. Can Alabama change the tune of violent gangs connected to the music industry? This is the connection with the rap scene, but also you get into this detailed discussion about the gang scene here as well. So, I mean, what prompted this story? Where'd you start on this?
I've been following the gang reporting since I started at Landyap. It's always been very interesting to me. But actually it's more surprisingly easy to follow than you think it is. If you know the right social media accounts, the right Reddit threads, it's all out there in the open. If you know the artist names, this is all on YouTube. What sparked this story was the arrest of Isaiah Kelly, which would have been last week by the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. He's being charged with murder for the death of a 24-year-old last year, where he allegedly shot him during a late night at a gas station. The weird component about Isaiah Kelly is that he's a rapper. So his rap name is KFN Spec. I think KFN is his gang name, but. He publishes music, actually released an album probably a week before he got arrested. So he's been making music for 3 years, but actually released under a music label a week before he got taken in. So despite the kind of high-profile incident that happened last year, it took the Mobile County Sheriff's Office about a year to actually get enough evidence. I mean, despite there being dozens of witnesses on the scene, but despite him presumably, alluding to this incident in media that he's put out, And despite that, he's had this long history of drug-related offenses, shooting-related offenses. He's a convicted felon. And so that kind of culminated last week into his arrest, with the sheriff kind of giving a hard line. We're coming after gang members. And that in itself is a pretty distinct thing. The law enforcement, city officials have long, you know, avoided talking about gangs in Mobile.
For sure.
You know, they always add caveats, you know, loosely defined. So there's been a lot of what they're not. And this story, I feel like, is the first time I've actually been able to hear someone say what it is. And they basically said this is these loose street gangs have scaled into these essentially criminal enterprise, organized crime groups that are basically so entwined with the music labels, with the music, with the video production, all that stuff, where it's a criminal enterprise. And he likened it to the YSL group, the YSL label in
Atlanta, right?
Atlanta, it's a big case. I think a lot of people saw the judge's conduct with Jeffrey Williams, young thug who owns the label. That made it kind of high profile with what was going on over in Fulton County. But that's the same case. But basically, that this music label is the front for the criminal activity all behind. The music itself is acting like this marketing arm.
That was one of the most chilling things. I've quoted that a couple of times since your story came out about that. That because you mentioned how if you know the right places, this stuff's all out in the open. It is like you would think like even though one part of the gangster world is snitches get stitches and nobody say anything, but these are in drill rap songs. I'm no pearl clutcher. I'm a rap fan, but in drill rap. You're getting not just saying, I'll shoot anybody who tries to take my money and I make money. It's I'm going to shoot so-and-so. And then you go shoot so-and-so and you told everybody you're going to shoot so-and-so. It seems it would make police work a little easier to find your suspect.
It's chilling stuff. Not only I'm going to shoot you, but this is who I've shot. A lot of times you'll see people flash pictures, of somebody they shot or killed or they're bragging about. The way someone died. I mean, it's chilling. It's really upsetting stuff to listen to. But you got this issue. You got several issues. One is, those admissions are either, they're explicit, ranging from explicit to just kind of hinting at it. And, what is admissible evidence? Is it a confession? You get into this, one of the YSL cases was one of the lyrics of one of the songs put out was, I put 50 rounds in your Tahoe. Well, their defense attorney is kind of piecing that apart. Well, 50 rounds what? We're taking 50 rounds around the block. Because it's like music, this art form, you can kind of hide behind it and say, and this, they'll do this. They'll be like, hey, all those guns were props. That's how they get around it. So, and it is out in the open. You can watch them. All his videos are up. And, then you get into the legal aspect of it, and that gets even more challenging because Alabama hasn't, up until recently, had a strong framework to address this. They've not had we just passed a criminal enterprise law last year. Which is a sentencing enhancement. Other parts of the country that have dealt with organized crime longer, California and Atlanta, Georgia, they've got more kind of pinpointed structures. They've dealt with it longer. I think California is like a sentencing enhancement, but I think Georgia actually has an actual charge if you are involved in one of these criminal enterprises. It's a separate, it can go up to 20 years just for being a part under this criminal enterprise umbrella. And you are a member, and they can prove it. But I was really appreciate the local gang intelligence unit. These guys are really impressive.
You talk about going into Mobile's local intelligence unit for Gulf Coast Technology, and you talk to Lieutenant Cook and then Sergeant Corley?
Yeah, yeah. both great guys. They and I wish I could have written everything we talked about, because it was just really great. And they're very concerned about, you know, the constitutionality of what they do.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, they made that really clear. And then that's kind of what the issues is when you get into some of this is, you know, if you make a law, can you overstep and make it unconstitutional? But it was really encouraging to hear them say that they're not just, you know, randomly targeting people, but they're building up cases with intelligence. And, it's really cool stuff they're doing.
Yeah, you know, when they're talking about the law in the first place in Alabama, I'll be frank, I was picking on it a little bit. Now, I can see need for it, but it was some of the parts, right? The if you wear, I don't have it in front of me here, like wear gang clothing. Oh, yeah, here it is. If you adopt the style of dress of a criminal enterprise. Well, that shouldn't mean, you know, or you have a tattoo, or you use a hand sign. I mean, yeah. those to me seem like, that doesn't mean, I mean, the people who could dress like they're in a gang or have a hand sign or something like that, that to me doesn't rise to the level of investigating people. But that's all in this law.
Yeah, and there's, I think when, you know, some of that might be outdated. I don't think anybody's going around wearing gang-affiliated T-shirts or something. You know, maybe that's a thing of the past where you have red handkerchiefs or something. But I think, so you have to actually meet multiple of those criteria.
Okay, you got to check off more than one box before you...
Yeah, I think you have to have three or four before it can actually be used as evidence. So this is a great discussion because as of up till now, and this is a new law, so it's still untested. Like, they haven't put anybody in through a sentencing where they've actually added on years. But up until now, gang affiliations have basically, and they do this in the Mobile County District Attorney's Office very well in collaboration with the local gang units, is they present gang evidence as just contributing factors in bond hearings, preliminary hearings for probable cause. And that's the only way it's been brought up. It's not, you can't actually point to and prosecute a gang affiliation or a participation in a gang group. This new law provides that framework, both in now you're going to have a sentencing hearing after a conviction, then you're going to go to sentencing, and then you can actually, you know, then you're going to have to say, hey, look, these are the frameworks. This is our evidence that this person is a part of this criminal enterprise, this gang group.
It's like a multiplier. You get convicted of murder. And then whatever the crime is, shooting somebody, and the sentence is this, and then you add this on to make the sentence longer? Is it like a, you know, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it increases the sentencing schedule by a class. So class B to class A, class C to B. So if even if you had a class C felony conviction, if you can prove beyond a really reasonable doubt or with evidence that this was a gang-related or gang activity, and he was part of it, then you can increase that sentencing schedule to the next level and sentence him under a Class B schedule, which the goal is to take these people off the streets, remove them from the equation. So that's on the back end. However, and this is really cool, because there is now a legal framework for evidence of what a gang member is, this is actually giving law enforcement tools for how to basically investigate and kind of construct cases, because now they have this. Now they have a set criteria. Now law enforcement can move in coordination more effectively to identify these people, to link things to actual gang groups, and to, you know, and maybe some of these things that. So let me take a step back. The anti-gang gang law enforcement has been prosecuting and ancillary crimes. Am I saying that word right?
Ancillary, so, yeah. Ancillary, just emphasis on different syllables. Yes, ancillary.
Yes, thank you. So, you know, they're not going after the organized crime aspect. They're going after, hey, you stole and shot or murdered this person. That's the most direct path, typically. And you'll see this with the Glock switches. A lot of gang activity involves Glock switches. You attach it on, you have an automatic handgun, and it's a common trait for gang violence. Federal prosecutors will come in routinely pick up the cases out of the local, move them to federal, and just in land a 4 or 5 year sentence right off the bat. I mean, that's their goal, is to try and get these people off the streets as fast as possible, and so they can't, you know, continue the cycle, retaliation cycle.
You mentioned it here a couple of times, and you quote Mobile County Sheriff Birch in the story when he says, "For a long time, law enforcement denied there was a gang problem in Mobile. We're starting to see the results of that." And I know you've been watching this since you've come to work with Lanyap, but I've been watching this a longer time, Scott. And that absolutely was true. I would have people in law enforcement in who were good men, but I'd like, "Hey, this is a gang." They'd be like, "Well, it's not, you know, it's just a, like you said, loose affiliation, and it's not really a, you know, charter gang." And I'm like, "Well, it seems like it's a gang shooting each other. You know, this gang shoots that gang. Well, it's not really." Mm-hmm. Now we've, I mean, you can't fix a problem until you identify what it is and give it a name. We have a gang problem.
Right. Yeah. And I think that is, I mean, I remember the press conference where they changed it. It was 2021. I mean, there was a Friday where it was like back-to-back incidences. Two 16, 15-year-olds got killed over on Cottage Hill. I can't remember the road. But it was just back-to-back. And it was all that Friday. Mayor Sandy Simpson has a press conference. And that's almost like what broke through when they started changing that. And, you know, but just basically openly, let's acknowledge this. And yeah, you know, how much, now they're acknowledging it in Montgomery, they're acknowledging it in Birmingham. And then you've got, you know, I mean, the high-profile incidences everywhere. Two New York Eve shootings involved gang members. One of those, I don't know, I haven't confirmed this, but I think one of those guys involved, I think his grandmother got killed in a drive-by Wednesday. I mean, it's crazy stuff. But,
it is.
You know, so high-profile incidences over and over again. The Stockton shooting ended up being gang-related, and it's happening, and it's happening in the open. And they're hiding out in the open, and they've got all this stuff, and they're, you know, it's almost like they're flaunting it. And that's another thing.
It's not almost like they're flaunting it, right? I mean, when you make and once again, it's not like I'm like all that rap. I mean, I like that rap, but drill rap, my God! I mean, it's like I'm laying out what I did and come and get me. Okay, well, come and get them then. If they make a song about how many people they killed before and who they're getting right and who they're fixing to kill, okay, all right. Yeah, then we'll take that and investigate it.
Right.
I'll tell you what, it's a heck of a read here. Y'all, it's the most in-depth story I've seen in a long time or ever on this subject here from Scott. Scott, if people want to get this story, of course, the cover story, the new Lanyap, or if they want to go online, tell them about that.
Yeah, find our purple boxes around town. We got a search tool on our website. You can find one, but pick them up for free. Or this is like what we like is you go to lanyapmobile.com, you subscribe, and join us. So.
Good stuff, Scott. We'll get you back on soon. A heck of a story here. Well done.
All right, thanks, Sean.
All right, there goes Scott Johnson. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:56, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Let me give you a quick heads up as we get into the weekend, too. Monday is like a day most people like to get something planned, started, those kind of things. Well, maybe make Monday your appointment day with 1-800-GOT-JUNK to get that junk out of wherever you got it. The trunk, even, if you would have junk in the trunk. But inside your house, outside your house, storage unit, business, wherever you got junk that's in your way. It's this cool thing about garages, too, that you can put cars in them when you get the junk out of them. And the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK can take care of big projects as well as small projects. I mean, above-ground pools, storage buildings, swing sets, they can get rid of all that stuff as well. So you need junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. He's been doing it 16 years here in Mobile and Baldwin County. Easy to get in touch with him. Make that appointment by calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK or going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK. FMTalk106.com. All right, to the text line here in a couple minutes. We'll come back after the news and take more of these. Let's see. Sean earlier on the text line said, I'd like to see the Alabama power rates compared to Baldwin EMC. Sean, that is a good idea. And we'll see if we can, what would the fancy news people say? We will endeavor. I'll see if I can go gather that stuff up, y'all, and try to compare them. And then the Georgia power is also very interesting, right? Because they're both under the Southern Company, the rate difference. Let's see. Now, y'all give me homework. I won't be out of town a lot next week, but maybe I'll have some time to do the homework. Squirrel Vereen says, I'd sweat like crazy with three fans on me before paying $200 plus a month like I did last year for 3 months. The number, go look at the story. It's up there. I mean, it's, the numbers are significant here in the rate increase. James, I'm going to say James the Jeff Poor Troll, but James, just James on my show, said in one of the poorest states in America, the power bills are theft. But saying this falls on deaf ears because it won't matter. Republicans are deathly afraid to question their own. Nah, not all of them. Some people in a little circle around Montgomery are, but I think a lot of people will question this. All right, we'll keep questioning and keep answering when we come back.